Chapter 15. The Trials. Miss Fenner Fairdale, handmaiden to the Shillane, undid her bonnet, leaning around the First Mother to gain a better vantage point. The First Mother, too, surveyed the tournament field, where young men by the dozens awaited their opportunity to demonstrate their skill at arms in hopes of earning an apprenticeship with the prestigious Dark Guard, the formidable protectors of the Shillane. Nearly all assembled were the sons of Rugothian aristocracy, Tolnorian nobles, and Ogmarian warlords. Others, Fenner thought, must be the sons of men in military ranks, since she couldn't recall them attending court the day before. Most of the hopefuls clumped together with fighters from their own nations, attempting levity to dispel nervousness. Some few stood alone in deep concentration, stretching muscles and reviewing proper technique. As Fenner watched, the morning sun finally crested some of the taller buildings that surrounded the field, promising a pleasant, warm day as the sweltering months of summer proper were at least a month off. The tournament area was a large, circular field covered with close-cropped grass. The nobles and the rich sat on covered wooden benches that formed a semicircle around the field. A guardhouse stood directly opposite the seating, and a low wooden fence stretched away from either side of it. Along this fence, the commoners and peasants gathered to watch the trials, but others had climbed onto the roofs of nearby buildings for a better view, though more uncomfortable and distant. As one of the Shillane's handmaidens, and as a daughter of a regent, Fenner had the right to sit with the members of her class on the benches, but a chance encounter and invitation from the First Mother afforded her the privilege of sitting in the box, an area for high aristocracy and dignitaries. Instead of benches, there were padded seats, and the First Mother and her advisers sat on the front row, Fenner one row behind. Fenner was supposed to be attending the Shillane this morning, but she had managed to convince Edwina to switch shifts with her so she could come and watch. It was a difficult persuasion. Despite the fact that Edwina was married and had children, she still liked to ogle the young man. The First Mother turned and, as she often did, asked about the Shillane's well-being with several pointed questions. Fenner loved the First Mother as she did her own mother, though her grace intimidated Fenner more than even her own father. Like the Shillane, Mirel possessed a beauty beyond compare. But the First Mother of Rugoth had a more forceful personality, a penchant for organization and an air of command that her daughter lacked, or held in a lesser degree. The Shillane, Fenner knew, would not need those qualities as her mother did. She would not rule a nation, but would stand in deference to the Ha'ulric in all things. After inquiring after her daughter, the First Mother turned her attention to greeting the regents and nobles as they arrived, many to watch their sons. Due to the war between Tolnor and Ogmir, fewer than usual from those nations made the trip, though more young men than ever entered the contest, Rugoth supplying the surplus. Of all nations, Tolnor was the least represented. Fenner noticed Gerund Kildan, the son of Duke Tern Kildan, the Lord Protector of Tolnor, huddled with seven other Tolnorians, who had made the journey at some expense to the war effort and at some peril. The Ogmarian entries taunted them at every opportunity, but Gerund kept his fellow fighters focused. He was handsome, like his brother Dacen, sporting long dark hair and a sliver of a goatee on his chin. The trials were held once every 10 years in Rugoth, and the event became a holiday for Rugothians, the city of Mikmir offering a wide variety of entertainments for those making the trek from other shards. These trials, however, held more import than any before. While the Shillanes had lived and died in peace for hundreds of years, the current one was the Shillane, the one the Ilk would war against to destroy the god reincarnate that the Blessed One would father within her. Those chosen to protect her would need to be special and skilled young men indeed. The First Mother knew this too, though as for that, she fretted excessively over her daughter and would want the best men to protect her whatever the peace or peril. To this end, she brought her two most trusted advisers, Regent Harrick Ogbeth, High Protector of Mikmir, and Cadean, her long-time bodyguard, to counsel her. Both men were old soldiers and excited to see the crop of young men who wanted to follow them into their honourable profession. They judged the young men like farmers judged livestock at a fair, seeing things, hidden strengths and concealed flaws that most did not notice. The first mother would seek their guidance when the time came to choose, and she sat between them, asking them questions about the skills and character of those assembled. Fenner noticed Regent Ogmuth's wife, Serena, approaching the seat next to her husband. While Fenner liked the regent a great deal, his wife irritated her. Serena assumed the unofficial position of guardian of all matters of propriety, except where they concerned herself. With a shrill voice that penetrated even the noise of the bustling venue, and with unrelenting fastidiousness, she commented without reservation about everyone and everything, uncaring or unaware of the offence that poured from her mouth. The only impropriety Serena would admit to was that she called her husband Oggie. Regent Ogbeth cared little for propriety, though he, ironically, seemed to care for the would-be embodiment of it, smiling at his wife affectionately as she approached. Fenner shrunk back into her chair, hoping not to attract Serena's notice. With parasol in hand, Serena genuflected perfectly to the First Mother and begged her permission to sit, which she granted with a polite smile.
"Quite the assembly of handsome young men," Serena said haughtily. "Except that gaggle of slumping Tolnorians. The climate there must truly be harsh to impart such a weathered complexion. I shall never hope to go there."
Seeing that no one replied anything, she handed her parasol back to Fenner without looking.
"Do take care of this and be useful, dear. You are afforded a great privilege to be so near the First Mother, even if you are a handmaiden to the Shalane. Oh, look, Oggy, there is Kimdan. I do hope he sees me here and behaves himself."
Regent Ogbeth's son, Kimdan, was among the hopefuls, and he stood apart from everyone, practicing his sword forms with impressive fluidity and skill. Kimdan was blonde, tan, and gorgeous, and Fenner knew many noble daughters in the stands had attended for the mere pleasure of cheering him on and gaining his attention and favour. Fenner fancied herself above all such machinations. She had loved Kimdan since first seeing him at court almost 3 years before. He was strong, handsome, and smart, and Fenner felt the attraction she imagined most women must feel when near him. Unfortunately, he had done nothing but ignore Fenner in the years since the First Mother invited her to court to become her daughter's handmaiden. Kimdan was well aware that he pulled the heartstrings of a good portion of Rugoth's young noble women, and his bloated self-confidence often led to an arrogance Fenner disliked. She knew the trials wouldn't help Kimdan lessen his opinion of himself. Kimdan Ogbeth, trained personally by the Lord Protector of Mickmere, was the best sword fighter of any of the young men present. Today was the day Kimdan would get to beat on his peers, play to the crowd, and drive the ladies wild. He had already removed his shirt and collected several sashes from his swooning admirers. A few of the other young men had a sash or two, but the majority had none due to Kimdan's excess. Fenner withheld her own, hoping Kimdan didn't think she would lower herself to such disgusting posturing.
"Well, Harrick," the First Mother remarked, "your son Kimdan is in excellent form. Does he realise that if he wins this, he cannot become the Lord Protector of Mickmere in his father's stead?"
"He knows it, Highness," the regent replied, "though he hasn't the temperament for it. He may one day, but he thinks a bit too highly of himself, I fear, to accept the counsel of others as he ought. My younger son Ilin, while not as much the warrior in spirit, is twice the statesman."
The First Mother nodded her head in agreement.
"Ilin is such a bore," Serena commented offhandedly. "Married a woman without so much as a spark of liveliness. A woman need be controlled, but not half dead for Eldaloth's sake."
"I think a year of training with a dark guard will give Kimdan a new perspective on himself," Cadean interjected, before Serena could go on. "My first year with the dark guard was the hardest of my life."
Regent Ogbeth chuckled.
"I have only heard stories, and I am content not to know the truth," he replied. "I fear Serena here would remove Kimdan from the trials if even half the stories I've heard are true."
Fenner had heard the stories too. Going days without food and sleep, being tortured to learn to resist torture, forced marches in the winter, spending weeks blindfolded while learning to defend against unseen attackers. There were rumours that some of the apprentices to the Dark Guard died during the training, and some said that of the 6 selected during the trials, only 3 were expected to actually graduate to the status of Dark Guard. Studying Kimdan, Fenner felt conflicting emotions. It would be good for his Dark Guard masters to teach him a little humility, but she hoped that his training wouldn't permanently damage him. It would be a travesty the young ladies of Rugoth would simply not stand for. A commotion on the field tore Fenner's eyes away from the regent's son. Silence fell over the crowd as two of the castle guard escorted someone toward the box where the first mother presided over the contest. The young man gripped by the soldier's strong hands wore rags and looked like a beggar straight from the damned quarter. With a mud-stained hand he clutched a dark cloak, rife with gaping holes. Brown pants were ripped up to the knees, and he didn't even have shoes. As Fenner considered the dirt-caked face and rumpled hair, she couldn't help but feel a stab of pity. Serena gasped and covered her mouth with her pale hand. Others of the aristocracy and nobility took similar offence at the beggar, perceiving his presence as an affront to the dignity of the field. Kimdan stopped, working his forms to watch, a wide grin splitting his face.
"You cannot beg your way into the Shalane's service, boy," Kimdan crowed.
Many laughed at the jest, but his father and the First Mother frowned in disapproval of the comment. Fenner wasn't sure why the guards had chosen to parade the ragamuffin around in front of the finely appointed assembly, but he didn't struggle, and his face seemed calm despite the jeering and mockery. The First Mother stood as the guards approached and the crowd fell silent. Captain Tolbrook of the Dark Guard approached the First Mother.
"Captain," the First Mother said firmly, "what is the meaning of this?"
The young man looked at Tolbrook and waited patiently.
"Forgive this, milady. Say the word or I shall expel him forthwith."
"Yes, expel him," Serena cackled, still covering her mouth. "I can smell him from here. Ugh!"
"He demanded he be given a chance at the trials," the captain continued. "I tried to turn him away, filthy as he was, but he would not be denied."
The First Mother's brow wrinkled, and she fixed her gaze on the young man.
"Speak, boy. Do you wish to submit your name upon the roll for the trials?"
"I do." The voice was strong, deep, and clear. Fenner noted his lack of nervousness.
"Do you know anything of the sword?"
"Yes, Your Highness."
The First Mother's eyes tightened with skepticism as she tried to discern if he were lying. After a moment of silence, she decided.
"Put his name upon the roll, Captain Tolbrook."
"I must protest," the captain exclaimed. "His presence dishonours the assembly. He didn't even have the respect to bathe before coming here."
"Enter his name, Captain. The law says that any man may enter the trials, no matter what his station or his cleanliness." "What is your name, rank, and nationality, young man?"
"My name is Jen, and I'm a serf from Tolnor."
More grumbling from the crowd erupted, and the First Mother silenced them with a wave of her hand.
"Very well, then." Captain furnished him with a sword. "Jen, I trust I have not made a mistake. The trials are a very serious matter, doubly so in these times. If you are honourable today, I will see to it that you get a bath and a warm meal, whether you are chosen or not. Understood?"
"Yes, Your Grace, I thank you for this kindness," Jen said, bowing his head in deference.
Fenner watched as he followed a scowling Tolbrook toward a small booth near the gate where his name would be recorded and where he would be issued a wooden practice sword. The First Mother sat, face thoughtful.
"You are certainly merciful, Your Highness," Lady Ogbeth said. "Much more merciful than I could have been, disgusting creature." "How do you mark him, Cadean?" the First Mother asked, ignoring Serena's comment.
"It's hard to tell for sure, but I would guess he is a fighter. Look at the way he walks, erect with head held high. He is confident and calm and easily ignores the abuse of the crowd. Whether he is confident, apathetic, or disdainful, it is hard to say. While good posture and confidence do not a warrior make, I am sure that this is no common street beggar. Perhaps he is a deserter from the armies of Tolnor. If a peasant, he would have been pressed into service. Under normal circumstances, peasants in Tolnor are not allowed to wield the blade."
"That is possible," Regent Ogbeth returned. "He is young, and his inexperience could have made him flee battle. But something tells me that is not the case. His clothes were his, and were not the clothes of a soldier, and I wouldn't expect a deserter to want to make himself public by coming to a tournament ground where he would be under scrutiny from some of his own countrymen. If an unskilled peasant, why come and make a fool of yourself?"
Fenner glanced at the Tolnorians, noting their disgust at their unkempt countrymen. The First Mother bit her lip.
While it is hard to tell with all that dirt on him, he is also too tall and too fair to be of Tolnorian peasantry. Keep your eye on him. We shall know more when we see him fight.
Should he pass Ethris's test, Haric said. If he is just some fool or a coward, Ethris's questions will show it.
Speaking of Ethris, where is he? We can't get this underway without that magician.
As if the First Mother's words had summoned him, Ethris strode through the guardhouse gate and across the tournament field. Young men parted for him and gathered their belongings as the mage's appearance signalled that the trials would begin. Fenner felt uneasy around Ethris. He was old, intelligent, and always in a sombre mood. Even more disturbing, the mage was by some art completely hairless. She never found out how or why he had become that way, but she always thought there must have been some special reason for it. Perhaps what made Fenner feel the most discomfort were Ethris's eyes. It was widely known that no one could lie to Ethris, whether he held the truth staff or not. Today he held that staff firmly in hand. Anyone who wished to enter the service of the First Mother or the Shalane had to grasp that staff and answer Ethris's questions. Well did Fenner remember her turn to face the penetrating glare, the blue eyes without eyebrows and eyelashes, and answer the same two questions all the young men would answer today in front of everyone. Ethris's bald pate shone in the sun, and his robe was almost impossibly white, the cynosure for the moment. He walked forward without haste, bowed to the First Mother, and then turned to face the assembled hopefuls whom Captain Tolbrook busily tried to form up into regimental lines. Nervous smiles and fidgeting broke out among the would-be apprentices. Kimdan was cool and confident, and Fenner spotted Jen standing in the back. His expression would have been appropriate for one standing alone in a room staring at a blank wall. The First Mother rose, and the young soldiers went to a knee and bowed their heads.
"Ladies and gentlemen of the Three Nations, I welcome you to the trials. Gathered before us are the finest fighting talents hailing from all human kingdoms. Each has come to demonstrate his skill at arms, his honour, and his wish to serve my daughter, the Shalane, as part of the Dark Guard. There are three rounds to the trials, and with each round a smaller group will be chosen to move on to the next. In the end, six will be chosen, and one among them selected to be their captain. Any who fail to achieve the honour of service to the Dark Guard will have the opportunity to enter the First Mother's army, should he so wish it. There shall be no magic or outside help given to any of the candidates today. Any who receive such will be disqualified and barred from further service to the Shalane or this kingdom. As is required, all must grasp the truth, staff, and answer the questions put to them. I am well aware that two warring nations are represented here. I will look on any petty vengeance with great displeasure. Let us begin."
The crowd applauded and settled in as Captain Tolbrook called names from the roll. One by one, each young man came forward and grasped the staff with both hands. The nobles from Rugoth raised a loud shout and applause as Kimdan came forward, grasping the rod and looking Ethris in the eye. Serena blushed at the attention lavished on her son.
"Do you wish to serve the Shalane for your own personal gain?" Ethris asked, voice cold and serious.
"No," Kimdan answered. Fenner smirked. Kimdan had already gained plenty of notoriety before the trials had even started. Perhaps his heart was in the right place even when the rest of him wasn't.
"Are you willing to die for the Shalane?"
"Yes."
"Rise and take your place."
Only two young men failed the test. Jen, the very last on the roll, passed. Fenner noted that he was one of the only ones, besides Kimdan, who was able to hold Ethris's gaze throughout the questioning. As if reading her thoughts, Cadean spoke.
"Did you see Haric? He had no fear of Ethris at all. Either he's as cocky and arrogant as your boy, or he's daft. We should have Ethris ask him if he really is a serf."
"I think not."
"Indeed,"
Regent Ogbith returned.
"If a serf, he is unusually indifferent in the face of mages and nobles. A bit of a mystery to spice up the event."
"Hush, Oggy," Serena grated. "They're announcing the initial assignments."
The first round of the trials involved pitting one warrior against another in single combat. Five groups of two fought at the same time, one in the centre and four in separate corners of the field, while one member of the Dark Guard supervised and evaluated each group. While Kimdan wasn't chosen for the first matches, Jen was, and Captain Tolbrook put him and his opponent in the centre of the field.
"The captain wishes to embarrass him," the First Mother observed.
"At least he's given us a good vantage point," Cadean added.
"Can you mark his opponent, Highness?"
the Regent asked. The First Mother squinted into the morning sunlight.
"I'm afraid I can't get a good look at him."
"That is Volney Tarun," Fenner offered, "son of General Tarun." The First Mother turned with a smile, as did Harrick and Cadean.
"Thank you, Fenner. I should have guessed you would have a good knowledge of the young men."
The First Mother winked, and Fenner blushed.
"She's right," Regent Ogbith confirmed. "He has his father's monstrous nose. A good fighter, the General. Haven't seen him in a year or two, but his son shall be a solid candidate if he's anything like him."
"Smash the filthy surfer, good one, Volney,"
Serena commanded. Her husband rolled his eyes up into his head in annoyance. Fenner surveyed the crowd. All eyes save a few were focused on the match between the serf and General's son, hoping for a few laughs to begin the day. As the Dark Guard gave them instructions, they each began to remove their shirts. The matches, Fenner learned, were always fought bare-chested, so that the welts left by the dull wooden swords would stand out. When Jen removed his cloak, he had no shirt underneath. What derision there might have been at this further evidence of Jen's poverty was quashed by the revelation of his form. Every muscle on his torso was firm and rippling. Scars, white against his heavily tanned skin, crisscrossed his chest, back, and arms. Fenner couldn't take her eyes off him.
"Erelinda, take me," the First Mother exclaimed. "Even Jaren in his prime was never that fit."
"He's a fighter, all right," Cadean observed, "and by the scars, one who has seen battle."
Regent Ogbith crinkled his brow.
"A warrior, yes, but torture rather than battle gave him most of those stars, I'd wager. Old warriors wouldn't receive half that many scars over a lifetime, if they survived that long. The dirt makes it difficult to guess his age, but he can't be a day over 18. Someone tortured him. Probably an Ogmarian. We'd best watch this one. It would be easy for him to take revenge."
As with the other groups on the field, Jen and Volney faced each other, and with a drop of the Dark Guard's hand, began to fight. Volney strode forward, confidently, striking with energy and precision. Jen blocked every stroke with apparent effort, returning with a series of strokes that at the end landed a large welt on Volney's back. This same scene was repeated every time, Jen narrowly avoiding Volney's swings, and then swatting the young noble somewhere on the torso. When Captain Tolbrook finally called an end to the fighting, Volney had several red marks and Jen only one. Jen shook his opponent's hand politely, though Volney's face burned with disappointment.
"Jen didn't seem overly impressive," the First Mother remarked. "Just adequate, if you ask me."
Fenner had to agree. Nothing about the way Jen fought was particularly interesting. Though she couldn't say why, she hoped he would fare better to quiet the rudeness of the crowd and his competition.
"He wasn't trying,"
Harrick said as Tolbrook began announcing the next pairings.
"There is a lot more power and speed in that frame than he showed. It's almost as if he's not trying to draw attention to himself, though that would seem the wrong thing to do during the trials."
Cadea nodded in agreement and was about to reply when a cheer went up from the crowd and drowned out any further conversation. Fenner looked up. Tolbrook had just announced that Kimdan was to fight Terent Brookwater, a warlord's son from Ogmir. Kimdan strode out onto the field, hands raised high, taking the center place without being asked. Terent, a lumbering young man, followed him out and faced him. Kimdan hopped about to warm up, twisting his neck and arms to get limber. This done, he executed another bow for the crowd just before the Dark Guard's arm fell.
"Damn peacock,"
Regent Ogbith grumbled, almost coming out of his seat.
"Must get it from his mother."
Serena scowled at her husband's remark, and the First Mother stifled a laugh.
"Well, you must forget who you were 30 years ago, Harrick,"
the First Mother said as seriously as possible.
"I've heard many tales about a man who was loath to turn away attention when he could get it."
"I was never as bad as that boy is. Tell her, Cadean."
"My lord," Cadean stammered, "I think I must side with the lady."
"Traitor!"
The conversation was cut short by an "ah" of approval from the crowd. Terent was squirming on the ground, holding his crotch, while Kimdan strutted around and taunted him. Fenner felt torn halfway between the elation of the crowd and a powerful feeling of disgust, a feeling perhaps enlivened by Serena clapping and giggling with pride and glee. Like Jen, Kimdan was marked but once during the fray, but unlike Jen, Kimdan showed no respect for his opponent, taking steps to paint him the incompetent fool at every opportunity. Each swat on the bottom, face or groin earned raucous applause from his admirers, and as Kimdan quit the field he received a standing ovation from a good portion of those assembled.
"Maybe he is worse than you were," the First Mother acquiesced. "He's going to complicate some Dark Guard's life for a while, especially if his pride is further bloated by becoming the captain's apprentice."
Fenner sat during the balance of the long first round to rest her feet. She was a little too short to get a good view when sitting behind Cadean, Harrick, and the First Mother, all of which were above average height. When the round was over, all three left to consult with the Dark Guard and Captain Tolbrook on who should be cut and who should proceed to the second round. Fenner left quickly, purposely forgetting about Serena's parasol, fearing the woman might request that she attend her during the intermission. Fenner joined the onlookers as they abandoned their seats and moved slowly into the city in search of refreshment. The sun was full up now, wisps of light clouds stretching from horizon to horizon in the spring blue sky. As she worked her way by the common folk that lined the railing on the opposite side of the field from the stands, Fenner found voices that described Kimdan in terms quite different from those used by the aristocracy and nobility. They weren't words she could repeat. She heard Jen's name more than once, from highborn and commoner alike. To the highborn, an offence, and to commoners, an oddity. Many of the young fighters sought refreshment in the streets as well, most surrounded by family, friends, and comrades in arms. A flock of young ladies vied for Kimdan's attention, and Fenner felt a stab of jealousy. She desperately wanted to act above the petty flirtations of her peers, but at the same time she wanted Kimdan to notice her and pay her the same courtesy and attention he did the others. Being trifled with, she decided, was better than being ignored. She wandered aimlessly for many minutes, lost in thought, trying to plan her next move to entice Kimdan to pay her the attention she was due.
"Excuse me, miss?"
Fenner blinked, and found herself staring at Jen's filthy face.